Hi, I'm Brother James, and this is my Many Messages podcast. I would like to take a moment to thank you for joining me while we dive into God's Word together. Okay, so we are on the third part of my series, Five Life Applications to Becoming a More Focused Christian. In this episode, we'll talk about the third application, Shuffle Your Feet. We'll get to that in just a minute. Let's do a quick overview. In the first episode, we talked about don't overthink it, just do it, in which I talked about just how Christians tend to wonder if they're being Christian enough and they're not actually putting any of Christian actions or Christian practices into action, and how we need to get past that thinking point and just do what we're called to do, which is to love others and to be that light in the dark for other people. In the second episode, I talked about finish the work that's in front of you, which means that don't worry about what other Christians are doing around you. Take care of the job that God has called you to do. Whatever your talent is, whatever your special skill is, use it to glorify God and do the work that's set in front of you by God. In this episode, I'm going to focus on shuffle your feet. What I mean by that, and I know that I've said the last few times that it sounds weird, but I promise I have a direction to go with that. What I mean by that is if you can picture athletes practicing, especially like football, where they do the little feet shuffle where it looks like they're trying to stay grounded and centered, that's what I'm talking about. We've got to learn to stay grounded and centered in Christ. We have to shuffle our feet to keep ourselves in that grounded and centered position so that we don't become unstable and fall away from Christ. In order to do that, there are a lot of things that we have to consider. One, of course, being the possibility of falling away from Christ. A lot of people oppose to that idea. I personally think that without the possibility of falling away, there's really no way that you can be completely enthralled with Christ, because there's no incentive there. I think God gives us those opportunities for incentive to show us that we need to stay focused on Christ at all times, or there could be consequences. But that aside, I know that's a doctrinational issue, and a lot of people are opposed to listening to doctrinational issues. So we're going to move on to our scripture. Today's scripture is actually coming out of Colossians chapter 1, and I'm going to talk from verse 15 through verse 23, where Paul is telling the church at Colossae about the centrality of Christ, is actually the headline in my Bible. I'm using the Holman Christian Standard Bible. So let's begin in chapter 1 of Colossians, verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God. That's talking about Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile everything to himself by making peace through the blood of his cross, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Once you were alienated and hostile in your minds because of your evil actions, but now he has reconciled you by his physical body through his death to present you holy, faultless, and blameless before him, if indeed you remain grounded and steadfast in the faith, and are not shifted away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard. This gospel has been proclaimed to all creation under heaven, and I, Paul, have become a servant of it. So what does that mean to us in the lesson that we're talking about, staying centered on Christ, to keep grounded, to shuffle our feet in Christ? Well, if we go back, we see that Paul first identifies who Christ is. He says he's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Everything was created of him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. And it keeps going a little bit, but what we see is Paul is identifying that everything is from Jesus. Everything is from Christ, whether it's visible or invisible, down to the smallest atom. We know scientifically, we know that everything, every piece of matter, every breath we breathe, everything has molecules and atoms, and these invisible particles make up what we see around us, and even what we don't see around us in the air we breathe. But we know that God has created all things. And furthermore, Jesus is the firstborn of all that creation. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the one who put all of this into action. And we know this because in John chapter 1, he refers to Jesus as the Word. And then when we go back to Genesis, we see that God speaks. And the breath of God, the Word of God, is literally a cross translation right there between word and John in the Greek, and breath in Hebrew in Genesis. It's cross translation. They both come from that same type of word, which means the breath of God, the speaking of God, the word of God. We see that that is Jesus in Genesis. Genesis in Hebrew is actually called Bereshit, which means the beginning. And that tells us that everything about Jesus is from the beginning. So we see that all of our life, all this world, everything around us is centered on Jesus, on the Word of God, on the very breath of God. He breathed everything into existence. And that's what Paul is reminding the church at Colossae about, is that Jesus was the very breath of God that brought all of this into existence, whether it's visible or invisible. The very thrones that the kings sat on, the very dominions that people rule over, the very rulers themselves, the authorities that are walking around are all there because God has breathed them into existence. Whether they serve him directly or not, they are his creation for whatever purpose they're put there. It says he is before all things, and by him all things hold together. Jesus is the very bonds of creation. He is the very thing that holds everything that we touch, every person we meet, every bit of our reality together in a single bond. It is by him that all things hold together. In verse 18, it says he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning. Again, there's that word Bereshit, if it was in Hebrew. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. He is the first resurrection. And when we read in Revelations, we see that all those who are dead in Christ will arise, will be resurrected. So we will follow the firstborn from the dead. And we see that that is so, and continuing in verse 18, so that he might have come to have first place in everything. Not just in the good things, not just in the bad things, because bad things really only exist as a perversion of what God has created to be good. So we see that Jesus is first place in everything, because he is from the beginning. He is the head, which governs the entire body of the church. It also says, verse 19, that God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. And that's all of God's fullness dwelling in Jesus. So he's attesting to Jesus' deity, to Jesus being fully God and fully man, and that he obviously died and rose, but that he also had all of God's fullness in him, so that through him, everything is reconciled, everything has been redeemed. So it's about keeping Jesus centered in our life. It's important that we look through Scripture. I've chosen this one particular one because it's kind of all there. But you can look through scripture and you can study scripture and you make Jesus the center of your life, and so that everything that you do in life, everything that you follow in life becomes focused on Jesus, so that you won't make wrong decisions, you won't make wrong choices. And even if you do, you recognize them immediately and you can repent and turn back to Jesus almost immediately, because your eyes have been opened in the centrality of Christ. You recognize that Jesus is center of all things. Then Paul turns to the people of Colossae and he reminds them, once you were alienated and hostile in your minds because of your evil actions. What he's telling them is that you were separated from God and your mind was filled with hostile things, with hate, with anger and disgust and perversions and everything else. And it was because you were this sinful creature. But, in verse 22, but now he has reconciled you by his physical body through his death to present you holy, faultless, and blameless before him. And that's in verse 23, carries on, says, if indeed you remain grounded and steadfast in the faith and are not shifted away from hope of the gospel that you have heard. So what you see is in verse 22 and verse 23 is that holy, faultless, and blameless lifestyle is possible so long as you remain grounded and steadfast in the faith and don't go away from the hope. So right here we see what I was talking about earlier, that the possibility of falling away from Christ exists if you don't remain centered and grounded. And this is where you need to shuffle your feet, and that means that you gotta stay centered in the Word of God. You gotta stay centered in a Christ-like lifestyle where you can continue to grow in Christ throughout your life and strive toward that perfect being that we're called to be in Christ. We're supposed to be perfected in Christ. And it's only through recognizing our faults and repentance, and recognizing our faults and repentance, and admitting our faults and repentance, and continuing that cycle, that every time we get better and we get better and we get better, we become more and more perfect in Christ. If you look at the lifestyle of David, it's not exactly a clean lifestyle, but he rarely ever repeated a sin that he saw, and he often, almost always, repented of that sin and moved from it. And that's why he's referred to repeatedly as a man after God's own heart. It's because he recognized the faults of his own selfish being, and he turned away from them and always went back to God. And we've got to be like that so that we can remain grounded and steadfast in faith and not shift away from hope of the gospel that we've heard, and become holy, faultless, and blameless, and be reconciled by the physical death of Jesus on the cross, and of course the resurrection afterwards. It says also, and it ends with, the gospel has been proclaimed to all creation under heaven, and I, Paul, have become a servant of it. We have to also model ourselves after Paul and become a servant of the gospel. And that means that we have a responsibility of remaining centered in our faith and steadfast in our faith, and hanging on to that hope that comes from the cross, that comes from the gospel, and sharing that hope with everybody else. And we do that through love and through kindness, and by giving to other people. The original word in Greek is translated in older translations, not just King James, but like the Geneva, the New American Standard, some of the older translations as charity. And some of the newer translations change it to love. And both fit, both actually come from that same group of words. But it means the giving of ourselves without expectation. It's that deeper love than just the surface love that we see in our world today. It's that giving of ourselves without expectations that we have to strive to be willing to do more often. And by doing that, we spread the gospel. And we do that with the sharing of the gospel. We tell people that it's only because of Jesus that I'm able to give of myself without expectation. It's only because of Jesus that I'm able to share these stories with you. And I hope that this message speaks to you. I hope that you get something from it and understand the importance of staying grounded and staying centered in Christ, and it's very important. And I'm going to leave you with that thought to think on so that you can look up the scripture again. It's Colossians 1, and it's verses 15 through 23. And again, thank you for joining me. Next time, I'm going to go to the fourth point of my five life applications, and it's always move forward. I hope that you enjoy this one, and I hope that you, I hope you've enjoyed this past one. I hope you've enjoyed the past two. Please, if you have any questions, any thoughts, any ideas, send them to me. There's ways you can comment on this podcast directly. You can always email me at brotherjames@brotherjamesparty.com. That's brojames@brojamesparty.com. You can visit my website, which is www.brojamesparty.com, and you can get my books there. I have three available. I'm working on book four. I'm excited about getting book four going. You can subscribe to the blog. You can subscribe to the podcast. You can like me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I'm on all three at Brother James Party. You can follow me on all them. You can send me messages through them. That would be great. Any way you can get in touch with me, if you have questions, thoughts, ideas, concerns, anything you want to share with me, prayer requests even, that's great. That's fine. I look forward to your feedback. I look forward to talking with you, communing with you. I hope you have a blessed day. And all of this is in Jesus' name. And I pray that you are all blessed by the messages that I share with you. Thank you.